This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
To this day, I don't know what started it. And the person to blame is sitting right across from you. That's the only person. Not parents, not society, not pornography. I mean, those are just excuses.
Hey there, pod people. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I am your co-host, Mandy.
And I am your co-host, Benjamina.
Lordy, and what we've just listened to is a clip of Jeffrey Dahmer, who is our topic for today, talking about his crazy mind. And we are going to get into a lot of crazy on this journey going on today.
Very interesting subject here, Mr. Dahmer. I was talking to Manny before we started about how a lot of the topics that we tend to do are things we've just learned about or things that we've known about that we want to kind of retouch on. But we actually lived through this. Like, I remember being somewhere in the 12-ish range, maybe, and the papers putting all of the horrific things that they found in Dahmer's apartment and just being like, this is the stuff out of nightmares, right? And now he's obviously like become legend. Like super popular again, right? And legendary, and they're doing all these Netflix shows and playing his old like interviews and things that I was probably shielded from as a kid. And it's just shocking to me when you listen to these interviews that I wasn't able to hear then, how Jeffrey Dahmer seems like a pretty decent dude.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Keep in mind when this was going on, I think when he was arrested, I was like a sophomore in high school, I think, but we didn't have the internet. So it's not like we could go on and stream these interviews that he did. And I didn't watch Inside Edition when I was a teenager. And that was actually the clip that I just played was from one of his Inside Edition with Nancy Glass. Yeah. That was one of her interviews, but I don't really recall ever talking about him or anything like that. I don't know that I was really that much into true crime when I was younger.
I wasn't into true crime, but I think the reason why it was huge where I was from was that's where he's from, right? So I'm from Canton, Ohio. Bath, Ohio is not too far from there. Mm-hmm. One of my really good friends that lived with his dad near me actually moved with his mom to Bath. His grandma lived near them, and she was a block over from Jeffrey Dahmer's grandma, where they actually excavated the yard and found several of his victims. So it was like hometown stuff and straight nightmare stuff, right? Like the stuff that Dahmer did, like obviously has happened before and it's obviously happened after, but to the extent that it happened, nobody ever heard of that kind of stuff.
Not at that. Well, at least not maybe in the US, you know.
Yeah.
Europe had some of their crazy cannibals, but
yeah, but like the amount of things that, well, we'll get into it all obviously, but
yeah, but it's just different.
Was doing in that apartment, what was in there was just like, that wasn't normal.
No. And
that wasn't even serial killer normal, right? Like Ted Bundy, you're like, okay, he did horrific things. He did a lot of horrific things. But as far as what we know about serial killers, it all made sense. It's like Dahmer, like, it's just not normal.
Well, normal in the sense, in referring to serial killer normal, I should say.
Yes, yes. Serial killer normal and culturally normal. Because obviously there are places where cannibalism
is okay.
Is okay. Yeah. Right.
Not here, but, you know, hey, whatever you got to do, right? But, you know, if you kind of just take a glance back into his past, you wouldn't really see any kind of triggers, I should say, as to what caused him to be this way. But we're going to go over a few things that might change your mind on that.
Yeah.
There were a couple things that kind of stood out to me when I was researching this past. And by the way, you mentioned Netflix. Have you watched Dahmer? I think it's called Monster.
I have not. And I want to say two things about it though, even though I haven't seen it. One, I haven't watched it just because it's like, I know it's from the standpoint of the victims, right? Which sounds interesting, but I've heard that it's kind of like very what's the word?
It is
Theatrical.
very, very dark.
Is it
Like
dark?
I can only watch so much at a time, and I have to be in the right mood for it because it makes you uncomfortable to watch it
Okay.
because the
Do you feel like
scenes
it
go into
glorifies
detail.
his stuff at all? Because his dad's actually currently thinking about suing Netflix because he says they're glorifying the crimes.
I don't think it. I don't know. I don't think it glorifies the crimes because it really, and you know me, I like stuff doesn't bother, grotesque stuff doesn't bother me. You know, I like
Yeah.
crime scene photos, but I was watching this and just
Graphic.
the way he was with his victims made me so uncomfortable. And it's not a sexual thing because obviously he was with men. It had nothing to do with that. It was just the way Evan Peters portrayed him is just, my God. It's very hard to watch. And I like stuff like that. And it was very difficult. But I mean, it does give you more insight into the victims and kind of how they felt and what they went through. So, I mean, you really, and I think I read something about a lot of the families of Dahmer's victims were re-traumatized by watching this. And I can
Yeah, and I'm
understand
sure
why.
that that's probably what's happening to Dahmer's dad as well. He's probably been re-traumatized, but he's probably definitely trying to put this all in the past, right? His son's no longer alive and did horrific things, and I'm sure he doesn't want to hear about it every day.
Well, and
However, I don't know if you can sue for that.
well, people would try to sue for anything, but it's Netflix and they're going to lose or either, you know, get a small
Yeah.
settlement or whatnot. But it doesn't necessarily portray him in the best of light. Certainly does not portray his mother in the best of light. But yeah, we'll get into the real story here. So May 21st, 1960, Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer was born at Evangelical Deaconess Hospital in Milwaukee. And according to Jeff's father, Lionel, his mother suffered bouts of partial paralysis during a pregnancy. Doctors were unable to find any reason for the paralysis. She was given injections of barbiturates and morphine, which, you know, obviously would relax her. And later she was given phenobarbital as well. So I think she kind of had a little bit of a drug addiction too. In 1962, the Dahmers moved to Ames, Iowa, so Jeffrey's dad could work on his PhD in chemistry. In 64, Jeffrey was diagnosed with a double hernia in his scrotum. Surgery corrected it, but it was extremely painful, both obviously before and after the surgery. Some people think it could have influenced later feelings of sexual inadequacy or insecurity. His dad actually claimed that it was from this time that Jeffrey started to become more and more withdrawn and introverted. What do you think about that?
It's interesting. I was gonna say, is like the sexual inadequacy due to the traumatic events of his private area. Like Patricia Cornwell threw that out there as a reasoning, part of the reasoning for why she said that Walter Sickert could have been Jack the Ripper as well. He had something called hypospadias, which makes your urethra not grow to the full tip of your penis, and like she said, due to that he possibly could have had issues with sex and it could have made him violently angry towards women. However, Walter Sickert had all kinds of illegitimate children and seemed to be doing just fine in that realm. But however, I there is this belief that it is that's been kind of prevalent that it is possible that having these dysfunctions with your private area for especially a man could lead to violence. So it's possible.
Poor kid was only 4 years old. That's just. So in November 1966, the Dahmers moved to Doylestown, Ohio. There actually were several other moves over the next year as they searched for the right place to bring Jeffrey and his brother David, who was born on December 18th of 1966. Now, the pregnancy was as difficult for Mrs. Dahmer as her first was. She was, well, at this time, a teacher. This was when Jeffrey was in the first grade, noticed that Jeff seemed to feel neglected, which is normal for, you know, kids who have younger brothers and are used to being the only child. But typically, you know, they get over it fairly quickly most of the time. Jeffrey's dad describes him as being extraordinarily shy and withdrawn during this period, actually kind of terrified of new people and situations. I don't know why that would be, because typically, if you're jealous of a younger sibling, you would be acting out,
You'd act out, right?
not being withdrawn, I wouldn't think.
Right. What's the age
No,
gap?
6 years.
Yeah, I mean, like, so he would be physically dominant over his little brother. You'd think he'd be like picking on him, and yeah, you wouldn't think that he would just kind of shy away. But different people have different mentalities. So, yeah, that's just who he was, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of fits into how he did his killings a little bit too. So in 1968, the family moved to Bath, Ohio, which you said was near Canton, where you lived, right?
It's
So
not far. Probably an
kind of
hour-ish at most.
northern Ohio-ish.
Nor yeah, like northeast.
Yeah. Jeffrey's dad has reported that Jeffrey was sexually abused by a neighbor boy at this time, and Jeff himself claimed to remember no such thing. Molestation can be a factor in gender confusion and hostility, but I wonder if his dad made this confession to give some sort of reason to why Jeff may be a little bit different and is using that kind of as an excuse, so maybe it didn't actually happen.
That's possible, but there is also a thing that occurs with a lot of abuse victims, especially sexually abused victims, where they can repress the memories. So it is quite possible that it happened to Jeffrey and he blocked it just because it was so traumatic. But his
Yeah.
dad knows it happened because he was not the person being abused. So he's able to kind of process it better. However, it's kind of a dangerous and slippery slope of a topic because, for instance, in therapeutic settings, it has been very frequent that false memories can be implanted too. So it's possible that it occurred and Jeffrey blocked it, but it's also possible that his dad made it up, right? So basically,
Yeah.
there's no way to really know.
Right.
And Jeffrey's not alive to ever find that answer, right? So.
Well, I mean, if he actually did repress it, I don't think he would necessarily even be
Yeah.
able to
Now,
remember it.
given the fact that Jeffrey Dahmer ends up being a serial killer,
Yeah.
it would make a whole lot of sense because sexual abuse is as bad as it gets as far as abuse and what it does to you
Psychologically.
psychologically due
Yeah.
to that is it all is on target.
If his dad was so concerned about it, he didn't bring any charges or anything against this person. So that kind of makes me believe, maybe it wasn't necessarily true,
Yeah, and I don't know what the temperament of Jeffrey Dahmer's dad was. And at first, I want to say not all people sexually abused become serial killers, right? That's not what I mean at all.
Right.
I'm just saying that most serial killers have had some traumatic events in their lives, and sexual abuse is definitely one that's kind of up there. But then secondly, I was going to say, obviously Jeffrey Dahmer ends up living a violent life. I don't know what his dad was like. However, you would think, well, let me say it from the perspective if I was the dad, and you probably know where I'm going now. I'm not a dad, but if you sexually abused my son, I would probably be arrested because I
Yeah.
would whoop your ass until the police got there. And if you survive, you survive.
Yeah, that's
Right?
yeah,
So none of
I'm kind
that
of right there
happened
with you.
either, right? His dad was never accused him. He never had any altercations that were legal was involved.
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know. I had a problem with that. Late 1970, Jeffrey's mom was hospitalized twice for psychiatric problems. And according to Lionel, she had been taking drugs to deal with her extreme nervousness for years, but they didn't work well. So she obviously wasn't exactly a stabilizing influence in Jeff's life. And during his school years, Jeff built a reputation as a misfit with a penchant for stupid pranks and very heavy drinking, like early teens. Actually, yeah, teens. Now, some of his pranks, such as shouting things out at strange times, bleeding like a sheep, and sometimes he would even fake epileptic fits. And I have a clip to play for you because that's kind of relevant to this time period.
I started having these obsessive thoughts when I was about 15 and 16, and they got worse and worse.
What were your fantasies about?
They were sexual fantasies of control, power, complete dominance. They became reality.
Was there pleasure in that fantasy?
There was excitement, fear, pleasure, all mixed together.
As a teenager, I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've talked about his mother having mental psychological issues, and clearly that stuff's genetic, right? But then it like the major thing, it really does kind of steer my mind back to these the scrotum surgeries, right? Where he might be feeling inadequate, because the only way I would think that you would have these need for domination and control and is if you feel really out of control and like you have no power, right? Which why would he feel that way at such an early age, unless he's just been repeatedly rejected by people that he's tried to pursue? I mean, obviously Dahmer, his main victims were men, right? So he also is living in a time period where coming out as a homosexual male is not really something that's easy to do either, right? So that could be part of his feelings of inadequacy too. He's not even allowed to visually act upon what he wants to do.
Well, and I think that may be a factor too, but everybody goes towards blaming the parents, of course. And in this case, I think his parents had a lot to do with his need for control. And I think they definitely had a lot to do with that feeling of abandonment, to where he wanted to, his main thing was that it's not that he wanted to kill these people. He just wanted them to be with him forever. And I think that kind of stems from his parents, because in 1978, it was actually June 4th, 78, he graduated high school and he was actually living alone. His parents were going through a very bitter divorce, and both of them had moved out and left this kid alone. He's 18 years old, doesn't really know how to do much of anything. So he was legally an adult, and the law didn't require anybody to have custody of him. And neither his dad nor his mom took custody of him. His mom actually took his brother David and moved away. That's an incredible lack of emotional support and complete and total instability. His drinking got even worse from here. And I'll
Yeah,
play. Go
let's
ahead.
toss that out there too. When you have mental issues, drinking never helps. Just putting that together.
No. Yeah, drinking doesn't help anything, period. It may solve certain things at the time, but yeah,
Yeah,
it's gonna.
other than like the one glass of wine a day
Yeah.
for the
We're talking
stress
like
and the heart, and
alcoholism,
yes, alcoholism does not solve anything. True.
But
In
then
fact, it
again,
makes
neither does
everything
any
worse.
addiction, you know.
It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. When you depersonalize another person and view them as just an object for pleasure instead of a living, breathing human being, it seems to make it easier to do things you shouldn't do.
Wow. So he's like his life has like classically conditioned him to objectify people
Yeah, pretty
to where
much.
they're not even alive to him, which is the only way he was able to do this.
Well, he had to objectify him somehow, because he obviously found them attractive. That's why he chose them to begin with.
Yeah.
And then he wanted, it's almost like he's Jekyll and Hyde. One part of him, that let's say the good part, is just picking up somebody he's attracted to, maybe wants to hook up with, but also because of his, I think, abandonment issues, wants him obviously to stay. So then that's kind of when, Mr. Hyde comes in and treats him as things as opposed to human beings. And I guess that's what he's referring to as far as, not being able to, or being able to do this stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean I think you kind of hit it on the head there with that synopsis, because he multiple times has talked about how he knows it's wrong, like how he actually does have a conscience about it, so he can't be objectifying them 100% of the time, or he wouldn't even know it was wrong. Or he would be like, look, I know that you as a society thinks it's wrong, but I don't feel it's wrong. But he doesn't say that, right?
No, I mean he does, and we'll hear it later and talk about it a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know how much empathy he really has. I think if he had any to start with, his parents probably drummed it out of him early
Yeah,
on in
like
life.
that he's like I said, his life and his parents and his family, all of their conditioning that out of him. right? He's being conditioned out of him. And he makes a point there that actually like is relevant to every crime, I think, where he's talking about how he it's a process to depersonalize people. Everything's a pro like people that stalk and kill someone, they start off with one too many text messages, right? And well, in today's society. And then they are walking around your neighborhood. And then they're peeping in your window. Then they're like, what if I just break it? Like everything like that escalates, right? Like, so if someone's in the process of doing that kind of stuff, they need stopped at a young age, right? They need stopped early because all of those kind of weird fantasies and fetishes, and like they all escalate.
No, sure.
That's why,
So
like John Dahmer said, he can't blame it on pornography. You can't blame it on pornography, but Dahmer did watch weird pornography. So you can't say
Bundy
that
did too.
pornography created it, but that's a step along the progression.
Bundy actually did blame pornography, or he tried to,
Yeah, right.
which
And
was
I do
not
think that
true.
Bundy's right that it was part of his progression. However, not everyone has the same trajectory.
No, I pornography may have, I don't think it had anything to do with,
Yeah. Well,
that.
and you got to keep in mind too that Ted Bundy, and I'm not promoting pornography. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I'm not making a judgment on one way or the other. But like the people that are watching like the show where like the lady answers the door and the repairman came over and then he's like working on the sink and then she's like, ooh, he's kind of good. And the next thing you know, a bomb and a bing and a bang and a boom. It's not what Ted Bundy was watching, right? He's watching
No.
fine torturing and weird
S&M
stuff.
stuff.
Yes. And I know there's people that like some S&M stuff and they keep it like within a level that's reasonable for them, and that's fine too. But he wasn't watching your normal everyday porn.
I don't know. If somebody asked to handcuff me or tie me up or something, I would be seriously questioning their motives because
Yeah, I mean, I'm
that
not
means,
into that
hey, they
stuff
want to
either,
dominate
but
me. So,
yeah. I'm not into that
no.
stuff either, but I have known human beings that seem to be functional members of society that likes kind of that stuff on low key. So I'm not trying to say anything bad on that
One
either,
of
but
the people I kind of casually dated used to like being choked out. I wouldn't do it,
yeah, I
but
couldn't do it. And the thing
that,
is,
no.
with that especially, there have been multiple times where people have accidentally killed people doing it. It's like not, you don't mess with that shit. No scarves around the necks, no
And how do you
strangulation.
explain that to the cops? They wanted me to do it, sir. Come
I
on.
mean, I think when the cops come in and they see the nipple clamps, they get it. But it's like you don't want to be there. You don't want to be the one that accidentally did that.
Well, no,
You're
I
the
mean,
one
it
that
doesn't
accidentally gets
even,
it done to you.
they may not have any kind of other eccentricities. It may just be the choking out. So, you have a person, naked person in your bed that's just been strangled by you with
Hey,
no
that's
other
fair.
weird things around.
Yeah,
You're fucked.
no. No.
The
I
only
don't
time
know.
I would do that is if I got them on video saying I wanted her to choke me out, and I probably still wouldn't do it.
I don't know. I don't even know why I'm defending it because I think it's just because I do know people that are like that. But you know
Oh,
what?
everybody
In
does,
all right,
Everybody
but
knows somebody.
in all reality, if sex has to become something more than sex, there's probably something wrong to begin with because you probably should care enough about the human being that you can just enjoy that activity together and it doesn't have to be
Violent.
violent or weird for you to be excited. Like, you probably should question yourself if you need violence and weirdness to be excited by your partner.
It kind of makes me, this person, I wanted to be like, what happened to you as a child that you
Yes.
wanted to do
Yes.
this?
Yeah, you're right. Pull off the gloves. I don't need to be protecting people from like there's weirdness to it, right? Like most human beings can just care enough about somebody and be attracted enough to somebody that they can do normal everyday sexual relations and be completely content.
Yeah, and okay. Let's throw in a little disclaimer here. This is based of our own judgment of how we are and how we think.
Yes.
We're not saying that if you're one of those people who do like to get choked out during sex or like that violence that you had something done to you, or that you're a psychopath. You may just have that proclivity towards weirdness. But probably not. You're probably maybe a serial killer in the making. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of, sort
Who knows? I mean,
of.
I look at like what is it, 50 Shades of Grey, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I've never read it, but
I
I've
watched the
heard enough
movie.
about it that I feel like, is that person that everyone's apparently attracted to, that kind of thing, because that shit got huge. But is that person like Mr. Gray or what? Is that person capable of love?
I don't know, because I didn't watch the series. I only watched the first one, because I was just like, if somebody did that to me, I will punch them in the face. Because the ending was, oh, no, that would
I just
never
feel
happen to
like if
me.
you got to do all that, you might want to actually go talk to someone about loving properly, which I'm not an expert
Yes.
on. I'm
No.
alone at 40. How old am I now? Oh my God, I'm 44.
43,
Oh Lord,
44, 44, because
44.
I'm 45. Yeah.
But
Hey, I'm in the same boat. So, you know what? We may not be the best
I would be
gentlemen.
perfectly happy to sit down with a therapist and talk about how to love. I'm good with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to, because I just don't want that in my life. But,
Yeah, that's
Oh.
fair too. It's kind of what I've been doing the last few years as well. So I'm with you.
Okay, back to Dahmer. So, June 18th, 1978, Dahmer picked up 19-year-old Stephen Mark Hicks while he was hitchhiking. They went back to his house for a few beers, and when Hicks tried to leave, Dahmer clubbed him with a barbell and strangled him with it. And excuse me, over the next couple of weeks, he methodically
He
stripped the
strangled
flesh
him with
from
a
the
bar.
bones.
Oh, a barbell.
A
Okay, I was
barbell,
thinking of a dumbbell. Gotcha. So a
yeah,
long
the
metal
long,
pole.
yeah.
Gotcha.
Over the next couple of weeks, he methodically stripped the flesh from the bones and smashed the bones and disposed of the few remains in the backyard. And Dahmer said he killed Hicks because he didn't want him to leave. There we go again with the abandonment stuff. At least one survivor of a Dahmer attack reported that he had been at Dahmer's apartment for a while, voluntarily. Just he, Dahmer brought him back for whatever reason. He, they would mention that they wanted to leave, and Jeffrey's attitude would change. They said his voice became panicky. And that's when the attack began. But Dahmer's fascination with death and the dead was already pronounced by the time he picked up Stephen Hicks. His friend said that he'd like to pick up roadkill and take it to a shed behind his house to skin the bodies. He also had a small animal cemetery. There were rumors that he killed neighborhood dogs and cats, and even mounted a dog's head on the stake, which is so awful.
Yeah, I mean, and all of that stuff is very symptomatic of future serial killers, the killing animals at a young age. And
Yeah.
so if his friends are seeing this stuff happen, that's definitely things that in today I think people know that enough that you would try to get help for your child. But back then we were so ignorant.
Well,
You just
his
kind of,
dad even encouraged it,
well, I saw, yeah, and yeah, and I imagine, like, and you're probably gonna say exactly what one of his friends said in an interview. They thought he was just really into anatomy. He might end up being a doctor or something, right? Or a vet.
exactly. Yeah, because his dad's a chemist, so he's thinking maybe his son's going to follow, the science
Right.
route
But
too.
here's the difference. A doctor, vet, chem, like those people are interested in anatomy. They are not killing the animal, right? And I'm not talking about hunting, right? I mean, I'm not a hunter. I don't agree necessarily with hunting,
Unless it's just for food.
and right, for food, right, exactly, because we're like, well, I don't eat meat, but I used to, right? And like, I'm not, it's like I don't have hatred for people that eat meat. However, my whole point is, if you're just randomly killing like the neighborhood dog to tear apart its body, no
Not
one
good.
wants to be a doctor's doing that. That's not
Yeah,
normal.
no. Yeah. That's definitely serial killerish making. Yeah,
Yes.
it's but a lot of people thought that this particular, weird behavior must have influenced Jeffrey's decision to kill Hicks. Because if he truly wanted to keep Hicks from leaving, he could have just tied him up, because a corpse doesn't make for good company, obviously.
I always knew that it was wrong, but after the first killing was not planned. I was coming back from the shopping mall back in '78. I had had fantasies about picking up a hitchhiker and taking him back to the house and having complete control and dominance over him.
There again with the dominance.
Yeah, that's a it's kind of what I was saying, but like how he says right there that first killing wasn't planned.
Right.
But his fantasies are escalating.
Just a little bit.
Right? I mean, I know we have questioned, like in one of our past episodes, whether like Christian Rivera actually killed Molly Tibbetts or not.
I
But
still
one
say
thing,
no.
if you're looking at the prosecution of it, is they talk about how he starts following girls in the neighborhood, right? And so if he did do it, it was like it's an escalation, right? It's like starts
Yeah.
with fantasy and then it becomes the small like just kind of like driving by him, and then right, it escalates. So even though Dahmer didn't plan it, these fantasies were planning it for him, right? They're
Yeah.
growing, they're getting to the point where he can't control them.
Well, yeah, they're getting to the point where he has to physically act them out.
Yes.
Or they're just not
Because
as,
the
'cause they're not
pleasure
as
that he's getting from the
satisfying.
fantasy, right? The fantasy itself is no longer satisfying to the level he needs.
Right. Now, another explanation for the killer's panicky tone when the prospective victims wanted to leave could simply be the stress of realizing that if he was going to kill the target, he'd better do it soon. Dahmer did indicate that he never liked the killing much, but he only did it to acquire the dead body. So he's really just doing it for companionship, you know. And I guess to him, a corpse is better than being alone, you know. Now, after his high school graduation, he enrolled in Ohio State University, stayed only one semester before dropping out, kind of as unstable as his mom is, really. So I don't know, maybe some of that mental illness passed down to him a little bit. December 24th, 1978, his dad remarried. December 29th, 1978, Jeffrey was sworn into the army. After failing to become an MP, he was trained as a medic and assigned to bomb holder Germany. Apparently, it wasn't that great of an assignment. It was also a few years after, you know, the Vietnam crap went on. So morale and discipline in the armed forces were poor, and drug and alcohol abuse were very widespread. Now, in the army, Dahmer was not the clown and prankster that he was during school. He was noticed, however, for being not only a very heavy drinker, but as an unpleasant, even violent drunk. So now his violent tendencies are starting to come out, which is never good.
Right. And I know that he found a lot of his victims at bars, right? So
Bars and bathhouses,
you figure he's probably steadily drinking through most of these crimes, and we just learned that he's violent
well,
drunk.
this kid's been drinking nonstop since he was an early teen, even maybe even before his teens. So he's very much alcoholic by now. So we'll jump into 1981. In March 26, Dahmer was discharged from the army before his enlistment was up because his drinking had reached the point where he just simply couldn't function anymore. And when he was back in the US, he went to Florida, where he actually slept on the beach for a few months before returning back to Ohio. October 7th, 1981, Dahmer was arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest and paid a small fine. He, of course, was drunk at the time. August 7th of 82, Dahmer was arrested again for disorderly conduct. He dropped his pants in public. By this time, Dahmer was actually living with his grandma, in part because she seemed to be the only person he responded to with anything like affection, which I can kind of understand given, you know, his parents' nature towards him his whole life. September 8th of 1986, Jeffrey was arrested when he deliberately exposed himself while urinating in front of a group of children in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I just want
Actually,
to say though, real, this is the second exposure, right? So it's like for him to be feeling sexually inadequate in his teens that we know of, like it's kind of odd that now he wants everyone to see his junk.
I don't know that he was ever really ever felt sexually inadequate, you know,
Yeah.
because he has obviously the charm and charisma to pick these people up and bring them back to his apartment
Right.
without, you know, inducing
Right.
anything
He
until
seems
after they're
he
there.
doesn't seem insecure at all.
No, he really doesn't. I mean, he's, you know, obviously very monotone and just very calm, I guess. But I mean, I've also heard other people say he actually was a very funny guy too. So, you know, who knows? But another version of that story was he wasn't urinating in front of the kids, he was masturbating. So don't know which one's actually true. By this time, Dahmer was a frequent visitor to the gay bars and the bathhouses. He was barred from one bathhouse because of allegations that on at least four separate occasions, he took someone to a private booth and drugged them. No charges were filed, but one of the victims was hospitalized for a week or so. Surprised he didn't get busted on that, which is interesting. September 15th of 1987, the murder of Stephen W. Tuomi. He was age 24. Dahmer claimed he woke up in a hotel room and found the victim dead with no memory of doing anything to him. He
Which
bought
the
a
way
big
he's drinking is
suitcase.
quite possible, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, this guy's not the only one that he's not had some kind of recollection of, at least the killing part. But he bought a big suitcase. He transported the body back to his grandma's house and proceeded to dispose of it, kind of the same way he did the body of Stephen Hicks.
You know what? I was watching an interview on him recently where he talks about this and the suitcase, and he actually like gets a ride from like a cab driver or whatever. And the bag was so heavy, the cab driver lifted it for him. The bag was so heavy, the cab driver literally said, "What do you have in here? A
Body
body?"
in, but yeah, I think I watched that one too, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so 9 years had passed between the first and second murders. In a sense, the time was so long that the second murder could be treated mentally as another first murder. He spent years working up to it, learning how to approach other men, how to drug them, how much to drug them. He may have been too drunk to remember the murder, or he may have avoided the memory because it was unpleasant. He wasn't, surprisingly enough, very skilled at killing yet. I've got actually two clips to play right now.
Just wasn't an opportunity to fully express what I wanted to do. There was just not the physical opportunity to do it then. And I started when I moved to Milwaukee in 81. I started reading pornography, going to the bookstores. Eventually that led to frequenting the gay bars. And then one time I brought this young man back to the hotel room, the Ambassador Hotel. Was just planning on drugging him and spending the night with him. Had no intention of hurting him. When I woke up in the morning, he had a broken rib here. I was heavily bruised. Apparently, I had beaten him to death with my fists.
And you have no memory
I
of
have
it.
no memory of it, but that's what started the whole spree all over again.
See, that's just, it's weird to me that, I mean, he must have been really, really drunk
Yeah.
or just really had to block it out because he just couldn't
Yeah,
do
I
it.
mean, he's either dissociating or he's so blacked out drunk, but I think it's what you've said a couple times where it's like it's the fear. If I could go back to that time where he's doing that, my guess is I would see this. Everything's relatively fine. And then the person tries to leave. And then he freaks out and beats him to death.
Yeah, that's maybe when he just goes into a rage. I don't know. It's weird.
No, it at the time it was almost addictive. It was almost a surge of energy. I wouldn't have to worry about any of their needs or anything. I just had complete control of the situation.
He's talking about how he was never repulsed after killing, basically, which is weird because he had no memory of the killing, but he would wake up and it didn't gross him out to see a dead body in his bed.
Yeah, and I my guess is it's just he's desensitized, right? He's been killing things and seeing dead bodies in different forms, talking about animals, right?
Right,
For
right.
since he was very small. So
True.
it's no longer a thing to him, right? Well,
That's
and like
true.
you said earlier, he part of why he wanted to do this was to acquire the bodies.
Right, exactly.
So I mean, he probably woke up and he's like, "Oh, I don't remember that happening, but ooh, I have a dead body."
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I'll just snuggle some more before anything. So let's jump to 1988. In January, James Doxeter, 14, was killed. Dahmer offered him money to pose nude for photos, took him back to his grandma's house. Now, after they had sex, Dahmer drugged and strangled him. By now, his pattern of using acid and crushing force to destroy the remains was practiced, so he was good with the acid baths, apparently. In March of 24, Richard Guerrero, who was 25, came back to Dahmer's grandma's house for nude photos. Again, after having sex, Dahmer drugged and strangled the victim. September 25th of 1988, Dahmer moved into his own place. He offered $50 to a 13-year-old to pose nude, gave him drugged coffee, and fondled him. The boy escaped, and Dahmer was arrested. Now, from here on, the pace of the murders picked up significantly. And once he had his own place, Dahmer seemed to have lost most of what, if any, control he had of, you know, of this compulsion.
It was my way of remembering their appearance, their physical beauty. I also wanted to keep something. If I couldn't keep them there with me whole, at least I felt that I could keep their skeletons. And I even went so far as planning on setting up an altar with the 10 different skulls and skeletons.
And what was the purpose of the altar going to be?
As a sort of memorial. A point where I could, I don't know. It's so bizarre and strange, it's hard to describe. A place where I could collect my thoughts and feed my obsession.
When the bodies were still in your apartment, there was no time when you would see them and say, this is grotesque, what have I done?
There were times, but the compulsive obsession with doing what I was doing overpowered any feelings of revulsion.
Wow, so he does get grossed out, but the compulsion is stronger.
It's an addiction. I mean, honestly, if you honestly think about it, yeah, it's psychotic, obviously, but, you know, it's like people who smoke. They can't control themselves, and it's damn near impossible to quit, you know.
Right.
You can relate it to the same thing. You know, he has this insane addiction. Unfortunately, it's...
Yeah, honestly, I think he knew it was so wrong that he probably would have turned himself in had it not been for the fact they knew if he was arrested that he could no longer fulfill that compulsion.
Right, exactly.
Like, he couldn't turn himself in. I do want to throw out a Monday morning quarterback type of opinion here, though.
Okay.
And this is kind of a hindsight happens in a lot of cases where you're like, why did the police not do anything? Like, so the 13-year-old that escapes after being fondled and drugged, why is Dahmer back on the street?
The area that Dahmer lived in was crack center. bad part of the neighborhood. So obviously, and, you know, no offense to police out there, but bad areas don't get policed that often. You know, they just...
But he was arrested. So why would you let him go? And it's because it's exactly what you're saying, which is very, very sad that our world is like this. It's because the undesirables, it's people from a community that no one cares about. If he had fondled an affluent, wealthy, white 13-year-old, Dahmer would have probably been locked up for 20 years and half these killings wouldn't have occurred.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that would be absolutely true. Yeah, but I mean, Dahmer was pretty slick and was able to, this one's kind of weird because I want to say this is the one where he actually had convinced the cops that, and I may be thinking of a different one, but I thought this is the one where he had convinced the cops that the kid was his boyfriend and that he was drunk. And then the cops allowed him to take him back up to the apartment. And
I mean, that's possible. And I don't know what was going on in Milwaukee in 1988. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you right now that the age of consent is not 13. So I don't know what it was then.
Well, he told him that he was 19, I think.
They didn't check?
17 or 19. No.
The police don't check?
Apparently not. Because, you know, bad neighborhood. So fuck it, you know. And you're also talking a gay partnership. So they weren't
the
comfortable
kid
with that either.
Wasn't too forthcoming in the information either. Other than, well, obviously let him know that he was fondled. But wouldn't you think the kid would be like, I'm 13?
Well, see, that's what I was thinking, because if it's the same kid I'm thinking of, Jeffrey wasn't arrested at that time. And I may be jumping the gun, but
well, it does say
know.
In September 25th, 1988, that he was arrested after the boy escaped.
Yeah.
So in this case, he was arrested. I'm just wondering why he wasn't arrested for a significant amount of time.
He's just good. He's
crazy.
You know, like every other serial killer, he knows how to talk his way out of shit, you know. So we'll jump to 1989. January, Jeff was convicted of second-degree sexual assault and enticing a child for immoral purposes. So I guess he was arrested
Again,
that night.
at this point, why isn't he locked up for a significant amount of time?
I don't know. He was sentenced on May 23rd to 5 years and 3 years sentences to be served concurrently. And after serving 10 months, then began the 5 years probation. So an 8 year sentence turned into 10 months in jail and 5 years probation.
Right. At this point, he's been arrested two times.
Yeah, this should be strike
Four.
three.
Right. He's
Yeah.
arrested two times for molesting a child. Right.
And indecent
Prior, he
exposure.
also
Yeah.
has disorderly conduct. So he's been arrested three times for different. Like, this guy at this point is a career sexual criminal. So 10 months and 5 years probation. Like I say, this is 1980s, right? So I'm hopeful that it wouldn't be this way today. This is a disgrace.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And like you said, like I think the only reason is because it's from a community that was a vulnerable population of
Well,
undesirables, which makes it even more sad that there's no one advocating or protecting these people.
yeah. And, honestly, it's a wonder he didn't get his ass kicked or even killed in jail because, child molesters are usually the first ones they target. From what I understand, I've never been in prison,
Well,
but
he was
whatever.
killed in jail. Oh, at that point, yeah.
Yeah, at that point, not later on.
Well,
Now,
he was
March
only there
twenty.
10 months, right? So he was in and out.
Well, that's true. That's true. March 25th, Anthony Sears, who was 24. That's the last time this guy was seen alive.
I just was, I'm sorry. I just gotta say one more thing
Oh God,
in that
what?
regard. Look, he's in jail 10 months. At this point, he's molested two children, and then
Nothing
he's
to
let out
love.
for probation. There are people that got caught in the 80s selling marijuana that just
Got more
got out of
time.
prison like decades later.
That's our criminal justice system. So back to Anthony Sears. Dahmer met him at a club. He took him back to his grandma's house. After sex, he drugged Sears and murdered him. Sears' painted skull was removed from Dahmer's apartment after his arrest in 91.
Why painted?
Maybe he wanted it to look pretty. I don't know. And I don't know why he took him back to his grandma's house instead of his apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there was too much heat around his apartment at the time, because he had just gotten out of prison again.
Yeah, maybe it's just the area too. Maybe like
Oh, well, yeah.
people are disappearing around his apartment, right? So
Yeah, that's true. True.
maybe it's like, let's make him disappear somewhere else.
May 29th, Ricky Beeks, who was 33, Dahmer met him at a club and offered him money to pose for nude pictures. He drugged and strangled him and had sex with the dead body. And the victim's painted skull was recovered from Dahmer's apartment after his arrest in 91. So
Again,
another one
painted.
he
He's
painted.
getting fancy.
That, yeah. So June of 1990, Edward W. Smith, he was 28, Dahmer met him at a bar and offered him money for sex and pictures. After sex, Smith was drugged and strangled. Dahmer took some pictures during the process of dismembering the body. Now that seems a little grotesque, that
It
part.
does, and it's like, I wonder what the point is. It's like if he just is having such a good time during the dismemberment that he wants to be able to look back on it and remember it would be my main guess. I mean, otherwise you would be like, maybe he does have concern for like anatomy, but I don't think so. I think he's just like, this is a great time. Let me snap some photos.
Yeah, it's pretty grotesque. September 2nd, Ernest Miller, 24, Dahmer met in front of a bookstore. He, of course, offered him money to come home with him. After sex, Dahmer drugged him and cut his throat. He took pictures of the body and dismembered it, putting the biceps in the freezer. He bleached the skeleton and painted the skull, which was in his apartment when he was arrested in 91. So now he's got body parts in his freezer. He's escalating again,
Yes.
like pretty substantially. So in September 24th, David C. Thomas met him on the street and offered him, well, Dahmer met him on the street and offered him money to come home with him. Dahmer drugged Thomas and murdered him without sex this time, taking pictures as he dismembered the body yet again. So he's getting more sadistic,
He
quite a
is,
bit
and
more.
he's figuring out what he actually needs compulsion wise. Like, doesn't even have sex with the person at this point. Like, so it's like sex isn't even like, it's like the sexual satisfaction for him is the dismemberment.
Yeah, something to those that effect, I would say, yeah. So 1991, March 7th, Curtis Strouder, 18, Dahmer picked him up at a bus stop, offered him money to come home with him. He drugged Strouder and strangled him after sex this time, taking pictures of the dismembered body. The skull, this time unpainted, was recovered from Dahmer's apartment after his 91 arrest. Okay, so he was kind of experimenting. Earlier, it had been sex, drugging, then murder. At least once he tried drugs, murder, then sex. And this is drugs, sex, and murder. So he's kind of, I guess the order, which is unusual for a serial killer, doesn't really matter as much. So it's not totally ritualistic.
I think for him that the order doesn't matter is like what I was saying earlier. It's like because the dismemberment part is the funnest part for him, and the acquiring, having the body to dismember and the skulls to paint, and like that's all the process he cares the most about. So the rest is kind of insignificant. I feel like he might not even have killed ever if someone just brought him a dead body every day.
Well,
It's hard to say. But it's possible if you just dropped off a corpse to him, he'd be fine.
or maybe if he had, his grandma had just let him keep the mannequin that he had that he apparently slept with, maybe none of this would
Maybe.
have.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us for part one of our special on Jeffrey Dahmer. I am your co-host, Ben.
And I am Mandy. And as always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter, and TikTok
And the
at
Spotify.
AbyssPodcast1. Actually, TikTok, I still don't know what our handle is. I think it's Through the Abyss Podcast, but you can just search Through the Abyss Podcast on TikTok and be able to. Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss Podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooky stuff.